Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Hope you're all doing well. Remember, go over to the website, get all the episodes to TheGreatDivide1776.com. Today, I have two guests, special guests with me. It's Scott and Michelle Zuckerman. They're the creators of a new social media platform that's taking off. It's called Speak Your Mind Here, speakyourmindhere.com. Welcome, Scott and Michelle. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. So we got this new social media platform going on, Speak Your Mind. Tell us, well, one, what made you decide just one day, hey, we're going to start our own social media platform? I probably know the answer, being that we're kind of on the same wavelength politically after our conversations, but tell everybody listening and who's going to be watching why you decided.
Yeah, you're gonna take this one. By the way, Alan, we absolutely love your podcast, love your content. It's awesome. All about the personality,
Thank you. You
have it. Absolutely. So we got to start out with that first before we get to the website. So
thanks. I appreciate it. I try to, I have a habit of speaking my mind sometimes a little too much, but some people enjoy it. Some people really hate it, but I appreciate it. Tell us.
So, I'm going to turn this one over to my lovely wife here, Michelle, because really she's the visionary behind everything. I'm just a good.
Yeah, the word. It's another word for saying the brains behind the operation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay.
Yeah, I got the look. brains, right?
So,
all right. Tell us, Michelle, why?
I'll tell you how it started. So Scott and I spend every morning before going to our business watching the news. And especially during COVID, we were so frustrated with everything that was going on. And I was part of a lot of Facebook groups like the Walkaway Movement and most of the conservative groups. And eventually I saw that they were being shut down one by one. So I decided on the treadmill that I'm going to create one. I invite Scott and he says, well, what the heck is this? And I said, that's my group.
Yeah, I'm not a big social media guy.
I want you to be the admin and help me out with this. Well, in 24 hours, we probably had about 3,000 followers on one group and Facebook caught wind of it, shut down our comments. I quickly created a second group. Everybody fled to the second group and then a third group. And they all still exist. Comments are back. Not much posting going on. And it was right before the election, right?
Yeah, right.
And everybody was heated and there was just so much passion from our Republican friends and all conservatives, obviously. Scott decided to start a platform on his own, like a beta version. And we got so much traffic that it just blew up. And that was the end of that. I think it took about 3 days for that to happen.
Yeah. So I spent about 18 hours one day and then another 18 hours the next day and built a social media platform using WordPress and a WordPress theme. And I'm really good at technology stuff. And so I had a perfectly working version of it. And then when all the people from the groups came over to the website, we had so much traffic, we couldn't handle it. And it just totally broke the WordPress site. So then I was like, all right, I guess we're in a position now where if obviously people want this. So I did a little bit of research and found some developers and we literally started coding from scratch. And it took a good 3 months to get our basic version up and running. And now consistently every day, we're just continuing to add new features and enhancements because let's face it, it's all about the user experience. And we want all of our users to have a positive experience when they come on. And we also want the website to be to have it be a real friendly community where people really get to know each other. Like Facebook was generated from a friends type standpoint. I think it's much better than the following people that you get on Twitter, and people really don't know who you are. But when you actually become friends with people who are like-minded, it makes for much better conversation. And quite honestly, for us to hopefully make a difference in what's going on in United States and quite honestly, global politics.
Yeah. You know, it's, I went on it. I connected with Michelle, it was you on Twitter, and I saw it. I clicked on it and I said, oh, let me sign up, and didn't realize you guys were so local to where I am. And, it's user-friendly. It reminds me a lot of Facebook, but that's not a bad thing, because I'll be honest. Like I love Facebook. I love it. It's usability. I enjoy it. I hate it because of what they do to people like us. I mean, I think I have 6 more days in Facebook jail on my 30-day sentence. And Facebook told me I was growing too fast when I started the Facebook the podcast page. I amassed like 7,000 followers in 3 months, and they locked my page for a little while. They locked some features. They told me that I was growing too fast and I could be a significant influence on social and political issues, which I was like, really? Because I'm posting news articles from, you know, various places, and I'm commenting on them, and I'm getting so much engagement, and 100 and 150 followers a day. And then boom, they were like, no, we can't have this. And then they put me in Facebook jail for 30 days for something that I posted that they took down, then they put back up. It's just nonsense. I'm a Facebook fugitive. So these alternative social media platforms are important. They obviously, they're going to be important to people like us who have this discrimination against us, I guess I'll say, the conservatives, Republicans. And so it's, I guess, a place for us to run to still have a platform and still communicate with other like-minded people. Okay. How long has this been going? Have you had it going?
Well, we started the site back in January, and then actually December-ish. And then after the first one was not after we blew up the first one, so to speak, it took 3 months after that. And now we're just about 4 months old on the new platform.
And it's growing. I know we had a discussion about that. You're getting regular users daily, right?
We are. And I think the 3 month pause of trying to get it together kind of made us lose some viewers and users, because, you know, right, the election was over. Everyone was angry. There was still Parler. Parler was still a big phenomenon for people. I think we just kind of paused on everything. And so we had to really start from scratch and start emailing and inviting the same people back. And I like where it's at. I know you have to be patient. Nothing happens overnight. And I see the momentum. Oh. So it started with a lot of posting and not a lot of engaging. And as we enhance the website, we see that people are actually liking each other and feeling comfortable. I mean, it's new. And I remember telling Scott that it's going to take time and we need to be patient, but I'm happy.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm not patient. And, you know, they say, oh, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I say, bullshit, it was built in an hour.
Right. No, I'm the same way. I'm very impatient.
Yeah. So even though we have several thousand right now, it's like, all right, we need a million, and we need 100,000 and 500,000 and 1,000,000 and 5,000,000. And I think we'll get there. But, right, you know, the other thing is we don't have a talking head, so to speak. Michelle and I are spending our own time, our own money to do this. Right. We don't have any advertising yet or anything like that. So it's really, we're on a mission, right? And with what is going on with all of big tech and censorship and what do they call it now? Shadow banning. I mean, it's been found out recently that Google, if you have Gmail, before you even hit send, they know exactly what you're typing. And if they don't like it or it goes against their standards, your email won't even be delivered. I mean, it's really crazy what's going on, and we don't believe that. But yet at the same time, there are also other social media, alternative social media platforms out there that we feel take the freedom of speech to a completely unacceptable level. And I understand there's a fine line, but, you know, that's also something that's important to us, is making sure we have the right people, the right conversations. And again, it is speak your mind here, and we want people to be able to speak their mind, but at the same time, it needs to be done in a tasteful, non-violent, non-threatening, non-racial bias or anti-Semitism or anything else that goes on some of these other alternative platforms that really, as far as I'm concerned, take freedom of speech to an unacceptable level.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that there's you know, this freedom of speech, you could say whatever you want, whether it offends anyone or it doesn't. If it offends me, if it offends you, the people have the right to say it. They do. However, there is that line. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because that was, I went on Gab not too long ago and I made
it. I didn't want to say it. You did.
I'll say it. I don't care. I'll say it. I don't care. I wasn't a fan of Parler. I went on there and then it got taken down, and then I went back on there and it wasn't user friendly. I'm not a fan of Rumble. Rumble, I tried. It's like, I'm not just in. Some people say it's great. Maybe I just haven't given it enough time. But I guess Facebook at this point is old school. I use Facebook for my business. I was using Facebook for the podcast, and it's helped a lot. I just have to, I guess, be a little more. I guess I have to work harder to stay out of Facebook jail, whatever that means. If that's even possible. I have a feeling that when I get out of Facebook jail, eventually they're just going to unpublish my
probably pages.
Whatever.
And I think Mike Lindell should stick to selling pillows and Giza sheets, you know.
I agree. I do agree. I went on that site and I couldn't figure it out, so that was it. But Gab was when I was started to float around, and I saw a bunch of groups, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of people on Gab, a lot of people. I saw some of these groups with 300,000-500,000 members in the groups, a lot of, you know, Republican groups, a lot of Donald Trump support groups. So, of course, my intention is to join them to spread information about my show and try to grow that. But then I'm looking at what some of these people are posting, and it was right around the Israel Hamas ordeal, and I'm like, wow, I can't. I was embarrassed. Because I'm looking at some of their profiles and I'm like, all right, you could tell they're, you know, I guess some sort of conservative, some sort of Republican. To me, there's all kinds of different degrees in that as well. But the posting of this anti-Semitic stuff was like, whoa. Like, and then I went into another group and I'm like, I thought I was attending like a Klan meeting. And I'm like,
exactly.
That's not. And then I'm looking to see where these people are from. And I'm like, all right, you know, some of them are from the deep South, where it doesn't matter where they're from, but it's like, all right, I left it alone. I'm like, I don't really want all these people, you know, as I guess followers, you'll say. It wasn't my thing, but I don't see that a lot of other places. I know hundreds and hundreds of conservatives, people in my everyday life, people I engage with on social media, and none of them seem to go down that disgusting road of bigotry and anti-Semitism and all that. So it's almost like all of the bad kids that I guess can't behave ran over there. And
yes,
like I and it's funny because I call myself a Facebook fugitive, but I'm not posting things like that. Like, one of my 30-day jail sentences in Facebook was because it was after the election, or maybe it might have been before the election, and I told somebody to leave the voting to the adults and to stay in mommy's basement playing Xbox, stuffing your face with Hot Pockets. That's all I said. There was no obscenity in it. A few minutes later, that's it. That's all I said. And then a few minutes later, I got a notification that I was, I had a 30-day restriction, jail sentence for, it was harassment and hate speech. Harassment and hate speech. I don't know what was harassing and hateful about telling him to leave, just maybe the Hot Pockets. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that was one thing that gave me 30 days. And that's just, the social media censorship is ridiculous, but someone can post about on Facebook about Israelis being terrorists.
Exactly.
And police officers should fry like bacon, and they're not taken off. Those posts aren't removed.
Maybe it wasn't the Hot Pockets. Maybe it was because you said in mommy's basement. If you said birthing person, you may have been able to stay.
Birthing person. Yes.
I found that was always the problem on Facebook. Debating people who don't want to listen to you. You know, people losing friends over this. Why can't we have an intelligent conversation and agree to disagree? It just always went sideways. And I think that was a big proponent for me to just step away from that and form these smaller groups in Facebook. And Facebook will not allow you to speak your mind about how you feel without censoring you and fact-checking you. Like you said, something as simple as what you said is a no-no. So to me, it's not something I want to be a part of. I'll use Facebook to connect with friends and family and see pictures, but that's as far as it goes for me. So I need another outlet, another platform where I can talk to like-minded people or not, but still hear their side and let them hear mine. And that's what I think that's what everybody needs. There's a lot of name calling and cursing, and I had to block and delete a lot of people that I actually liked prior to how they behaved. I'm sure I'm not the first to convey that, but I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, and like you said, with what they allow the people to say, as long as it fits their agenda, right? Yeah, they have an agenda.
It has to fit the narrative.
It has to fit the message that they want to put out. And if it does not fit within that box, then it goes against community standards. And it's just ridiculous that the Ayatollah can tweet death to America, but the president of the United States is removed. I mean, and with all these, I went to the doctor because I broke a bone in my foot. And on the page, it asks me what pronoun I want to identify as. Like in an intake form at the doctor's office, I'm like, what is this world coming to?
Yeah.
I think what we wanted to provide on our platform
I noticed.
If you want to talk. Mm-hmm. Are we glitching? If you want to talk about BLM, you could talk about BLM. You want to talk about the president, you could talk about him. You want to talk about Trump, you want to talk about your children, you want to talk about the dinner you made last night. Anything goes. But like Scott said, you know, I don't want any racial slurs. There are people of every color that are conservatives, and we have to respect them.
Absolutely.
But for the most part, we allow all content.
Every right now, I believe Facebook that if you, I don't know if they're still doing it. They were. If you put a video up of like part of any of like a Trump speech, anything off YouTube, you put it up. They say anything with his voice in it, they will remove.
Yes.
And they won't even allow. Yeah. They won't allow anything on there. And what's interesting is, you know, with the whole thing now, I think they said they'll reevaluate in 2 years because they don't want him contacting anyone on their platform directly because of the midterm election. And possibly if he decides he wants to run for president. Now, if that's not big tech meddling in our election process, I don't know what is. It's so obvious.
100%.
I mean, you know, Right. It's that old saying, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. I mean, it's exactly that. It's the former president. We're going to take him off the platform well after the midterm election. And then obviously that they're not going to let him back on, because especially if he decides he's going to run for president again, there's no way they're going to let him back on.
No.
And this is where Congress, both not only the Democrats, but Republicans, are failing on allowing big tech to get away with this. Mm-hmm. And not, I mean, they're doing nothing. They're doing nothing. And I was having a conversation with somebody about how the Democrats play the game lawfare. They will sue and file lawsuits in federal court over anything that Republicans would try to do. They've been doing it for decades and decades and decades. Republicans, they're not doing that. And part of the reason, there was recently a congressman out of South Carolina went to, he was on the David Webb show talking about it. He went to Kevin McCarthy asking about filing lawsuits about the illegal immigration practices from the Biden administration. And Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader of the House, said, well, we just don't have funds to just start filing lawsuits. The only thing we can do is ask and hope that the state's attorney generals will file the lawsuits. But, and I think that's such a nonsense answer for that, say for illegal immigration, but also for, say, big tech. There are so many groups, forget the RNC, you have all of these other conservative and Republican groups and voters. You have large donors, you have medium donors, you have small donors. Don't tell me that the Republicans could not raise money to file lawsuits and engage in legal battles against the Biden administration for illegal immigration practices, and maybe there's some federal laws he's breaking, or laws against big tech about all of the social media nonsense with the deplatforming and censoring of conservatives. And the Republicans need to get their heads out of their asses, because it's like high school study hall in that congressional chamber. This one's going after this one. You know, all right, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a firecracker. I like her. You know, but, you know, she just put a bill up about abolishing the ATF. We know damn well that nobody's abolishing the ATF. I wish they would. As a big Second Amendment guy, I wish they would. But we know that's not going to happen. So she's got that bill. And they're putting forth, you know, and it's important that we make Juneteenth a federal holiday.
Yeah.
But we can't do anything about our communist social media platforms censoring American citizens because of their political values, not because of their vulgar language or their racial remarks, but because of their values. Who would have thought we would have seen a deplatforming on major, major social media of a former, and at the time, I think for a brief time, sitting United States president?
Yep.
How does that even happen? And for the current president to not make a remark against censorship of American citizens, instead he's encouraging it, it's disgusting. I mean, there isn't really a word for it. It's un-American. Like, you can't, I never leave home without it, the Constitution of the United States, right? I tell people, read it. For $13, they can get themselves a copy. Read it. It's not that hard to read. It's pretty basic. Every single congressional member, including Republicans in there, not all of them, have completely broken their oath to defend the Constitution.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there is a also on our website, and I think that it's important to make this known to everybody, that we have links to valuable resources where you can actually make a difference. And there's, just like your 1776 in your podcast, there's another, some friends of ours who, like you, became, you know, I'll consider you a friend now through meeting through our platform. And they have a website called 1776 Empowered. And
I saw that. I went on it.
Yeah. And the thing is, look, it's a pipe dream. But what's amazing is the concept that every politician needs to sign a legal document that says they are going to uphold the Constitution, right? And all the values of this country and what we stand for. And they're going to work for the people, not for themselves. And if they violate that legal agreement, they should be removed from office. I mean, it's genius, right? But like, you know, again, like I said, is it a pipe dream? Right. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But the point is that we have these resources that we are making available to everybody so that you can learn about what's out there and how you can actually go and make a difference. Because just going and posting funny memes about Sleepy Joe and Creepy Joe and, you know, yay Trump and, you know, Beetlejuice and all the other, you know, funny stuff that's out there, you can post that all day long, but that's not how you're going to make a difference.
No. No, I tell people you can get on there, you can post memes, you can talk. Unless you're... So I had this conversation with somebody about making a difference. Someone actually said to me, well, calling your congressman and emailing your congressman is useless, he says to me. And I said, you're wrong. One person calling your congressman and you're emailing your congressman is useless. If you want to make a difference and you're the one that wants to email and call the congressman, it is your job to go out and get five people to call and email that congressman. And each one of those people get five people. When three people are calling here and there, they don't care. The power is in numbers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these congressmen and senators, they will get, and I've had a senator and I've had a congressman say this to me in person. There are powers in numbers. And there are members of Congress out there that when they get enough calls and enough emails, they get spooked. Like, I have to address this. One person, I can call my congressman you can call your congressman every single day. If no one else is calling, deaf ears. So I always say to those people, the ones that say it's useless, it's only useless if you're going to be the useless one to not make the phone call and make the difference. You're going to post your problems and tag the congressman on Facebook who's not even going to read it. One of his staffers is, his social media director is going to read it. He could give a crap less about what goes on in social media. No, you have to call, email, and visit. I'm sorry, but if 20 people show up to a congressman's office, somebody's going to take that seriously and speak to somebody. We're on Long Island. There are rallies all over for everything. Grassroots rallies, they're making a difference. They're doing various things, whether it's unmask your kids, whether it's going after Cuomo, whether it's for Donald Trump, whatever it is, whatever it was. It's happening, and there are people that are doing it. But for real issues that are happening in Congress, they work for us. Everyone seems to forget that, too. Like, you're a congressman, you're a senator.
No, they're supposed to work for me. That's the difference. They're supposed to.
Exactly, exactly. But I also fault the voters, too, because they just – a lot of them will go and they'll vote and then they'll, oh, I'm not happy with something. Let me rant about it, but not do anything about it.
Exactly.
And everybody thinks it's so hard to do something about it. The hard part is getting enough people to join you. Okay. Like you could make up a flyer and put a flyer on everybody's door. Hey, they want to put critical race theory in our school district. We need 40 people to come to the school board meeting. Go walk the neighborhood and go put out flyers and make a difference. sitting on a social media platform going blah, 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 blah does nothing.
Exactly. Right? And Alan, let's face it. Most Americans are lazy people. Okay. We are the laziest country. We are the laziest country in the world. Okay. In my opinion. And especially the new generation, because they have all this crap at their fingertips. And all you have to do is take out the phone and be like, and I'm going live now. And I'm going to, you know, here's my story, you know, and that's the problem, right? It's nonsense. And that's why we're so passionate about this country and this website and speaking to you and how powerful your podcast is. Because this is what we need. We need people to listen and go out and make a difference and go door to door and go on these websites and contact your congressman, because otherwise we're just going to sit back and we're just going to get steamrolled.
It's true. It's true. Completely off topic, and I wanted to ask earlier, Michelle, this is directed towards you because we use the word we're hearing that word, birthing person. You're a mother, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
You are a mother?
I am a mother, so, yes.
And that's you know, probably one, if not the most important job in all of the world. So how does it make you feel that if someone would refer to you as a birthing person?
It's insulting. It's like calling the man or the dad the impregnator,
the sperm donor, the inseminator,
the, you know, what's the other word for it? The donor.
The one who has all the fun?
Right, the one that has all the fun. It's insulting, but, you know, I'm very thick-skinned, and my philosophy about it is, well, they can call it whatever they want. I'm always going to call it what I think it should be, the way it started. All this cancel culture didn't change a damn thing. It just divided people further. Okay, so they can cancel whatever they want, and I think there's a lot of our friends and people we know, they don't believe in it. I laugh at it because I'm a mom, I'm a mother, mom, mommy, whatever you want to call me. That's what I'll always be. So when I see that, I think that they basically have nothing better to do than we have so many problems in this country and they focus on that. And to me, that's a mockery to the world.
Right.
You think that we're a joke.
Yeah. I think the world is looking at America right now and thinking that we're the biggest freaking jokes. And I mean, like I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, if you're gay, straight, bisexual, lesbian, LGBTQ, none of that stuff. I don't care about that, right? Go with your bad self, right? No matter who you are. What I have a problem with is when a transgender person is allowed to play sports, when they're reaching out to the breast pump companies and saying that they need to change the way they market their breast pump and they need to be more sensitive to transgender to create a chest feeding device. I mean, you know, like that's what I'm saying. Like what in the actual fuck is going on?
Yes. Yes. And my whole thing is I respect anybody, any human out there. You have my respect as a human.
100%.
The next comes respect as a person. If you show me respect, I'm going to give you respect. Don't come and demand respect and acceptance because it's going to make you feel like a better person. All right. If Scott, if you decide to go and put on a wig and dress up as a girl, that's fine. Great. But don't force me to accept it and call you her or she, because no, you're a man and I'm gonna call you a man. I'm not gonna call you a man out of disrespect, like, hey, I know you wanna be a woman, but you're a man. No, I wouldn't do that. But don't come to me and say, this is how you have to acknowledge me now. No, I don't have to do anything, okay? I'll call you a goddamn broom if I want. I don't care. Right? The problem now is the radical left is bringing us back in time and want segregation of all identity groups of whatever type of gender or sexual you are. There's probably 118 of them now. There's race. There are colleges out there that are having separate graduations by race, religion, how you identify, and income levels. Columbia University had like 6 graduations, all based on that. And the federal government is giving colleges and just gave colleges and universities $40 billion out of the COVID bill. That's what $40 billion of that went to colleges and universities. So where our tax money is funding universities, and we're supposed to accept that there's no free speech on campus. There are certain places on campus, like smoking areas, where you can have free speech and you can have segregated graduations and groups in college. There's between that and the discrimination with the so-called racist voter ID, okay? They are using racism to say that voter ID is racism. There was this filmmaker, he's on Fox all the time, Ami Horowitz. I always talk about him. He went to Berkeley College in California. He goes to California and he asks all white college kids, I think even a few, maybe a professor or two or faculty, and says, do you think voter ID is racist? And they all said yes. They all said yes, and they gave various reasons. And these were the reasons that white people in California gave saying that voter ID was racist. They said, black people can't afford cell phones. Black people can't afford internet access. Black people can't afford data for their cell phones. Black people don't know how to get to the DMV and do the paperwork to get a license or an ID. Black people can't afford any of that. So black people are stupid. Black people are dumb. Black people are poor. That is what all of these white people were saying. So then he goes to East Harlem, New York, and he asks all kinds of black people, goes up to a black woman on the street. Do you have ID? And she says, yeah, I have ID. One had a license. One had a driver's license. They all knew where the local DMV office was. They all had cell phones with unlimited data. They all had internet at home. And then he said to them, do you think having an ID requirement for voting is racist? No, absolutely, they said. Most of them said it was a good idea, so they knew that it was a legit vote, that it was not racist. And then when they said, well, do you know, I asked all these white people the same thing, and they said it is racist because you can't afford a cell phone, you can't afford internet access, you don't know where the DMV is, you can't get an ID because you're black. And they were like, well, that's kind of racist and ignorant. And this is what they're doing. Yep. Like they're white liberals are using racism to say voter ID is racism, and they're calling black people stupid they're doing it.
Biden put
and
that
what's scary out there. Is there are black people out there that don't say it.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Biden put that out there. If you
Joe
remember.
Biden's the most racist politician.
Absolutely.
Out there.
Yep. You look back, if you look back at some of his old videos, especially from 70s, 80s, whatever, right? He is the biggest racist. They were
inflammatory things.
Like Trump, Trump's daughter is married to a Jew, converted to Judaism, right? But yet Trump was an anti-Semite, okay? Yep. Meanwhile, he goes and has Shabbat dinner on Friday nights, okay? Ask Joe Biden when was the last time he went for a Shabbat dinner. And then you have Joe Biden's one of his top people saying, well, if Jews are fearful for their lives, right, of being attacked, they should take their yarmulkes off and remove their Jewish stars. Now, can you imagine if Eric Trump or Don Jr. made a statement like that, or anyone in Trump's cabinet or any of Trump's people told the Jews to take off their yarmulkes and their Star of David? I mean, and what I don't understand is how these Democrats, they're so smart, right? There's so many smart people, but it's like there must be something in their blood that just the brain doesn't operate like in a normal capacity.
No, no. Donald Trump also did more for the African-American community than most presidents have done. He's done more for black colleges, black communities. I mean, you know, every black person that supports Donald Trump gets discriminated against and called an Uncle Tom, gets called a coon. It's ridiculous. I know quite a few black people that are huge Donald Trump supporters, and they get it. They get they're called Uncle Tom, they're called coon and everything else, traitor and all this other nonsense. And the people that are saying it, they don't even know why they're saying it. They don't know why. The racism is being pushed predominantly by these white radical progressives. And they want to make, because they love to exploit the minority communities. The Democrats love to exploit them, and that's why they get them all to vote. I mean, they say it constantly that they're there to fight racism, and they're not. And this is part of the narrative that gets conservatives and Republicans censored off of social media, because they want to label conservatives and Republicans as white supremacists and just go forward with that narrative. And that if a conservative posts something on Facebook or tweets something that disagrees with anything the left says, they're a racist, they're a bigot. And they set it up that way, like voter ID. Well, I think voter ID is important. Well, Alan, you're a racist for no reason other than you're a racist, you know? I started drinking my coffee black, so I'm not called a racist anymore. You know, it's by white people, by the way, because black people don't call me a racist. White people do.
Right.
And it's usually the white people that wear their knit hats and sit on mommy's couch playing Xbox, stuffing their fat faces with Hot Pockets. Those are the ones that call me racist. And that's the truth. Listen. Let's go through again. How do people find Speak Your Mind here? We got to get people signed on to this platform. So just tell everybody where to find it, how to do it.
Yeah, what do we sure. Got? It's real easy. You go to speakyourmindhere.com. We have tried to shorten it, but of course, even SYMH.com is taken. So unfortunately, it is.
It's a great. You don't shorten that. Speak Your Mind Here. That's what it is. Now, that's a great name.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So it's speakyourmindhere.com. You register. The one thing I can tell you is, especially being a new domain, we do wind up, your validation emails do wind up in spam boxes or not delivered. If they're not delivered, everyone gets a personal email from me letting them know that their account has been validated. So be patient with that. Again, that's not us. That is big tech that controls that. But we get past it. And when you log in, especially if you're a Facebook user, it's going to look very similar for you. If you're a Twitter or Gab user, it's going to be a bit different and a little bit of a learning curve to get used to. But you know what? There's nothing you can break. So you click around, you figure it out, make new friends. You like what somebody has to say, click on their profile, add them as a friend. And that's how we're going to grow. And if the five new members tell five more people and they tell five more people to use your example, we're going to grow real fast. And it's going to be great. Michelle and I are really looking forward to meeting so many new people.
And I think the best part about it is the compliments every day. We love what you're doing. Thank you. We love the platform. We're happy to be here. I'm going to promote you here and there and through friends. And that's a great feeling because, you know, we're the mom and pop of, I guess we're little tech, huh?
Yeah, we're little tech.
And
micro tech.
We're micro tech. And it really means a lot to us. And
hey, listen.
We feel accomplished.
No, you should. I think it's great. Great thing that you're doing. You got to get people on it. Everybody, listen, you're listening, you're watching, you got to go to speakyourmindhere.com. It really does. If you're a Facebook user, it looks like Facebook. So I was able to click around, no problem. You put a profile picture, you put a cover photo, you start. You're seeing what people are posting. You like it. They got all the emojis. You can post stuff. You can embed stuff. You can share all the crazy memes you want. There's nobody out there going, oh, hey, you're in jail. You know, it's where conservatives are going to speak their mind in a respectful way to preserve conservative values. It's not just a bashing platform of the left. It's people are on there sharing information.
Exactly.
There's a lot of good information on there. Right. I hear a rumor there might even be some podcasts available on there in the future. I'm hearing, who knows, maybe you'll find me on there. And you can go on my profile on there, and I always post all my shows and stuff. So yeah, it's speakyourmindhere.com. Get over there and get on it. Scott, Michelle, I really appreciate you taking the time and being on and talking about this. We're going to try to hopefully get as many people as we can on here. All the website and everything will be in the show notes. So just go in the show notes and click on it. I'll post about it on my Instagram and social media in the next day or so. Speakyourmindhere.com. Go find
Alan,
it and get
you.
On
thank
it.
Thank you, Alan, so
no
much.
No problem. Scott. No, Scott. Scott, Michelle, thank you. We'll do a follow-up in a few months. We'll see how it's going. Hopefully it explodes. All right. All right, everybody. Listen, thanks for joining tonight. As always, get over to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. All the social media is there. And don't forget, go over to the new social media platform available, speakyourmindhere.com. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And best of all, most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at TheGreatDivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.